Let's go ahead and back to the book of Proverbs, chapter 25. Remember that this last section of the book of Proverbs was assembled during the time of King Hezekiah. I think it was because he was trying to find an answer to life's problems. The biggest problem of all being, we're all going to die and there's nothing we can do about it. But this is, it starts with a whole bunch of Solomon's Proverbs, many of them dealing with attitude adjustments and being aware that you should not engage in bad behavior and that you should watch out for people who are engaging in bad behavior. We closed last time in the book of Romans, chapter number 12, where Paul quotes as the climax of a passage from Proverbs 25, verses 21 and 22. That's where we're going to start in a moment. The point of Paul was an attitude adjustment. We need to think about other people ahead of ourselves. It shouldn't always be about us. It should be about others. And we should try to get along with everybody. We should care about other people. We should not demand our own way, should not try to get even. And so the Romans passage ends with this quote from Proverbs 25. This is Romans 12, verse number 20. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap burning coals upon his head. And then the application for the whole section. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So the idea is to try to do what's right in order to change other people's lives. Doesn't matter what they do. We always do the right thing because we want them to change their way. And so back to our passage, we have one last thing to make very clear, and that is that the heaping the burning coals on the head is not intended to punish them. Let's read it again in the Proverbs. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. So those are all good things. Now your enemy's probably been doing bad things to you, so you're doing good things back. For you will heap burning coals on his head, and he who is will reward you. So what's the deal with the burning coals? Well, if you put coals of fire in a pot, stuck it on your head, you're going to feel the heat before very long. And it's going to make you sweat a little bit. It might even turn your face red. And so the concept here, the idea here, is to let them sweat it. Let them turn red. Let them be embarrassed. Because you're doing good regardless of the bad they've been doing to you. So you're shaming them by your good behavior with the intention that they will repent. That's the goal. That's the hope, and that should always be what drives us returning good for evil. Proverbs 25:23. The north wind brings forth rain, and a backbiting tongue angry looks. Yeah, that's not that hard to imagine. You know, you see a north wind picking up in Israel, and you think, oh, that's going to bring in some rain from the Mediterranean. And if you see or hear somebody doing some backbiting, that is talking behind somebody's back, well, yeah, that's going to get a negative reaction very often. I know more than once I've given a dirty look to somebody because I saw them or heard them saying things that they should not have been saying. So I've kind of helped bring that proverb to pass, and I'm sure you've done the same thing too. Verse 24, remember that this book, the Proverbs, is written by a man, So it's taken from a man's perspective. So all you ladies out there, feel free to flip the gender perspective in order to get the same meaning for yourself. It is better to live in a corner of a housetop. You know, that's outside upstairs on the patio, you know, the deck. That's what they use their flat tops of their houses for. So it's better to live on the deck. It's better to live on the back porch than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. Just flip it if you're a lady, a quarrelsome husband. Somebody that's always fault-finding, somebody that's always picking at you. You might feel like you're better off hiding out somewhere else in the house. Now, what's the point of that? The point of that is for the person that's being quarrelsome. Don't be that way. Don't make your husband or your wife or your business partner or your friend wish that they could escape your presence because you're constantly bickering and causing trouble with them. Adjust yourself to be a better person so that they won't want to be somewhere else. That's the point of the proverb. Verse number 25. Like cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. You know, all of us enjoy a good cold drink of water when we're super thirsty. We also like to hear good news from far away, especially if somebody we care about or some situation that we care about is in that distant country. Verse 26, like a muddied spring or a polluted fountain is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. Now, we do not have as much of this idea of open springs and wells and things like that today as they did back at this time. If you were constantly depending on a fresh water source by your house, by dipping buckets into it and bring it into the house, and that was your drinking water, and you came out one day and you saw some person in mucky boots just dancing around in your spring, polluting it with cow manure or something like that, that they'd been around, you know, they were washing their shoes off, then you'd appreciate what they're talking about here. A righteous person, meaning a person who knows what's right and is living right, a righteous person who gives way before the wicked is like that. They're like a muddied source of drinking water, a polluted source of drinking water. They are no longer righteous. You know, for us to cave when we're put under pressure and we end up doing the wrong thing or agreeing to allow other people to do the wrong thing, that's not good. And so don't do it. Don't give in. Stay fresh. Stay fresh water for the Lord. Allow yourself to get polluted makes you unusable. We don't want that. Verse 27, it is not good to eat much honey. You'll see this repeated quite a bit, the idea of honey as the sweet treat. It was not exactly candy. It was more like some sort of, I'm trying to think of the best way to describe it. Not like an energy drink, but some sort of energy bar that was to give you a quick rush of energy and brighten your eyes and things like that. And so it you didn't want to eat too much of it, though, because it'd make you sick. It's not good to eat much honey, nor is it glorious to seek one's own glory. So going out there, trying to sell yourself, self-promote, talk about how great you are, that's not good. It is frustrating to listen to people that say, no one does this like I do it, I am the best at this. I'm not a big sports guy. I like to play certain sports maybe from time to time, but I don't really like to watch them. But every once in a while, I do see sports figures just really talking up themselves. And that really turns me off when I see that. And it should turn you off when you see anybody self-promoting like this. Verse number 28. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. A person who cannot restrain themselves, cannot maintain self-discipline, they're like a fallen city, a city that's had its gates blown open. Anybody and everyone can just go in and take whatever they want. A person that's out of control is open to being used and misused. Chapter 26. Like snow in summer or rain in harvest. Okay, so snow doesn't come in the summer. That would be weird. Rain doesn't come in the harvest time. That would be weird. That's the point here. So honor is not fitting for a fool. So it would be weird to give honor to a fool. Now we're going to have a whole bunch of things about fools in the book of Proverbs again. Remember, a fool has nothing to do with intellect. That's not the point. We'll use this quote from the Psalms to help illustrate it. A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So a fool is somebody who rejects ultimate authority, specifically the ultimate authority of God. They think everything's about them. Everything revolves around them. They get to decide what's right and wrong. And so a fool is a morally deficient person. So they shouldn't be honored. Other people should not talk as if they're the best person around, because that would be as weird as having snow fly in the summer or rain falling during the harvest season in Israel. Verse number 2. Like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying. So all of us have seen the sparrows going around and maybe the swallow flying around. Well, use that for this. A curse that is causeless does not alight. So when we see those birds that are just flying, they never seem to come to a tree and stop. A curse that doesn't have a reason to exist is not going to light on that person. You know, somebody says something nasty to me, they damn me to hell, whatever. It's just words in the air. It has no impact on me, because only God sees my heart. Verse number 3. A whip for the horse, and you should probably think of that little hand whip that jockeys and others use to try to encourage the horse to go a little faster. A bridle for the donkey, bridles being put on the muzzle of the donkey to use to make them move one way or the other. And then a rod for the back of fools. So we're back to the fools again. A morally deficient person, a person who doesn't want to follow rules. They will be open to physical discipline, just like horses sometimes get the encouragement of the whip, or the donkey gets pulled with the bridle. The corporal punishment rod will be applied to the backside of a fool. In this time period, it was common practice to have corporal punishment given to criminals. If it wasn't a capital offense, things could either be paid back financially, or they could be paid back with some sort of corporal punishment. If you were engaged, like, in public drunkenness, you might be assigned so many whacks on the back with this rod. And you shouldn't think of it like a shovel handle. Think more like a bamboo pole, something that's got some give to it. And so I'm a firm believer in corporal punishment. I think it should still be used in cases that are not capital crimes, as kind of an extinguisher of bad choice behavior. Verse number 4 and 5 go together. You cannot separate them. They are played off against one another. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself. So you can't respond in kind to a fool. So they're being foolish. They say stupid things, things that are morally inappropriate. And so you just give it right back to them. That's not right. That makes you a fool. And then verse 5. It is not a contradiction. It is a continuation of the same thought. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. So instead of being a fool back to a fool, you need to try to help him see the need to repent. Give him information. Give him encouragement to change. Give him argumentation to take a different action in his life. That's how we need to answer a fool. And so this brings me back to our media issues today, social media. I see so many people, they just flame out and say nasty things to people, and it's back and forth, and nobody's saying nice things to one another. That's fools answering fools, and that's not appropriate. It's a waste of time. But if you try to give people reasons to change their thinking, you're trying your best to redeem them. You're trying your best to encourage them to give up that foolish attitude, that foolish behavior. Then that's appropriate. But I will add this. If their response is to continue in their foolishness, then we move into Jesus' comments about don't cast your pearls before swine. All right? Don't give what is holy to dogs. There is a time at which we have to say, okay, well, you're not open to listening, so I have to disengage. Never do we engage in foolish responses to fools. Verse number 6. Whoever sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. Meaning, if you actually think it's a good idea to engage a foolish person, a morally deficient person, to pass on a message for yourself, well, you deserve whatever comes at that point. You're cutting off your nose to spite your face, as we would say, but you're cutting off your own feet and you're drinking violence down. You're just looking for trouble. Verse 7, like a lame man's legs, which hang useless. Now, it's not intended to be an aspersion against those that are handicapped in their legs. It is the idea that a person who's had a lifelong handicap like that, their legs are like little skeletons with skin over it. There's no muscle mass. They can't move on their own. They have to be moved by hand. That's the point, is just like that's the situation with a lame person, so is a proverb in the mouth of fools. You can take any of these proverbs and give it to a fool, and they might quote it to somebody else, but have no clue as to what it really means. It's worthless. It's just like a person quoting a phrase in a language they don't understand. It's just words. It's just noise. Verse 8. Like one who binds the stone in the sling is one who gives honor to a fool. Now, can you even imagine David doing this when he's fighting Goliath? He's like, oh, I got to make sure that this stone stays in the sling. I'm going to tie it in there nice and tight. And then he whirls it around his head, woo, 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 and he lets go, and nothing happens because he's tied it into the sling. That's as foolish as it would be to give honor to a fool. To tell a fool, oh, you're such a smart person. You're such a good person. You're such an honorable person. To shine them up. To blow smoke toward them. No, don't do it. Don't do it. Verse number 9. Like a thorn that goes up into the hand of a drunkard, meaning he's so drunk he wouldn't feel it, is a proverb in the mouth of fools. So again, fools, morally deficient people, people who have no respect for God, no respect for authority of any sort, no respect for other people. Just they only think about themselves. They are the narcissist. Okay? Proverbs don't do them any good. It's just words on a page, just words in the air. And so it's worthless. Like an archer who wounds everyone is one who hires a passing fool or a drunkard. So imagine an archer just randomly shooting everywhere. That's as foolish as it would be to put some trust in a fool or somebody that's totally drunk to get a job done. The next one is actually quoted in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. So Peter clearly knew this section of the book of Proverbs. I would imagine a lot of the people of Jesus' circle memorized many, 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 many Proverbs. So verse 11, like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. Now, none of us like to have our pets have indigestion all over the floor and then immediately turn around and start licking it back up again. It kind of grosses us out. Even me saying it out loud, some of you object to that. You're upset because it's making you a little queasy. That's the point. A fool who just keeps doing the same foolish things over and over again should make us queasy. The morally deficient person, the self-centered sinner, continuing in their sinfulness should make us queasy. It should make us want to help them see the light if they'd only give up their foolishness. Verse 12. Do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? So we're back to the self-centered fool again. There's more hope for a fool than for him. So the self-centered guy is as bad as a fool. Actually, a fool is worse than him, according to this proverb. He's worse than a fool. Verse 13. Now, we shift our target group. We've been talking about fools, morally deficient people. Now we look at what's usually translated sluggard. We could say lazy person, bum, person that even though they're physically capable of doing the work, they just don't want to do it. So they don't. And they make excuses for themselves. Now, the book of Proverbs was originally directed toward adolescents. Having been an adolescent at one moment in my life, I know that I like to do the things I like to do. I didn't like to do the things that other people wanted me to do. And so I sometimes would be lazy and would have to be, you know, prodded into doing the work that I didn't really want to do. And so some of these proverbs were intended for people like me back at that time in my life. Verse 13, the sluggard says, oh, there's a lion in the road. Oh, there's a lion in the streets. meaning, I can't go to work today. I'll be eaten alive. Always coming up with an excuse as to why you can't do it. Verse 14, I always think about one of my preachers when I was a teenager at Kabul, Larry Atkins. When he came as our preacher, he took on the unenviable assignment of being our Bible study teacher for teenagers. And, well, he did what he should have done. He decided to teach us Proverbs. And had a great time with him. I think of it fondly. And he would act out or use verbal imagery in such a marvelous way. And this is one of the ones I always think about him. As a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard turn on his bed. And so you can picture, you know, the sluggard, he kind of rolls over and then he goes back to sleep again, just like a door creaking open. Verse 15, the sluggard buries his hand in the dish. And so he's got this finger food in a bowl in front of him. And he shoves his hand down into that, but it wears him out to bring it back to his mouth. He can't even get it back to his face. You know, and Larry would put his face almost right down onto the desk at that point. And I just found it hilarious, and it really made it memorable for me. A sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. So there are some of these people that are not just lazy, they're also foolishly lazy. They think they're smarter than everyone else. And that's why they don't need to do the hard work. They can sit around and come up with all these reasons why it won't work, or if only we had this or only had that, then we'd be able to do it. And that's not good. It's just laziness, trying to take charge of this person's life. Mark your place. We'll get back here into the Word next time we have the chance.